Good evening. Welcome to the Yellow Dog Sangha. Such sweetness around here. Today, as you well know, is in this country's Memorial Day. It's a federal holiday for us to honor and mourn the U.S. military personnel who have died and given up so much while serving our country. So I'd like to start with a poem by John O'Donohue. He says, "If our hearts are willing, grieving becomes the gateway to loving awareness, the entry into our own awakened nature. And when the work of grief is done, the wound of loss will heal, and you will have learned to wean your eyes from the gap in the air and be able to enter the hearth in your soul where your loved one has awaited your return all the time." So thank you. So tonight we are continuing to find ways that we can begin again to a freshness that we kind of know that it's there, but seems to be somewhat difficult to stay with that freshness that can be found only in the present moment. And really, this particular tool of beginning again is where our highest learning can occur, because where are we? Well, we're in the present moment. So it's a tool that we can use. And the reason it's the highest learning, of course, that can take place is because of the present moment living constantly knocks on our door for a new, fresh look at whatever we are. Whatever we are, what? Seeing, hearing, thinking, smelling, tasting, or feeling. That's how we perceive our lives. So what's keeping us from this beautiful gift that's been given to us? Well, we know our minds are interrupting us a bit, bringing past perceptions through our six senses. So we know our perceptions are distorted, and that's the way of things. But the Buddha says what keeps us in prison mostly is the greed or clinging, hatred pushing away, and we don't have, or we haven't opened to the wisdom that is who we are. So we can all say we have the greed, hatred, and delusion, but it's the way we're living our lives that keeps us from the freshness, from the newness. And that's why we practice. And we begin to see for ourselves that life is not as it appears. Huge awakening. So there's a lot going on that we have been conditioned to ignore. So that's what waking up is all about. So here we are. We find ourselves sitting down and being still and quiet for many, many hours. And so we get a glimpse of this freshness. And it's so simple, but it's not so easy. So I've sent you out some ways, talked about it last week and sent it out to you. I just kind of made it up. It's not scientific in any way, but hopefully you find it useful, modify it in any way. But how to hang out with the Dharma when we can't sit in meditation. And so I've chosen The Path with Heart by Jack Kornfield because he gives us the whole scope and sequence and reminds us. And then if we make a commitment to sit daily, doesn't have to be long, then it promotes or sustains our practice. And then further, if we go to insightmeditationsanantonio.com, we'll hear Randy. I've heard Randy all my life, 50 years of it, but at least 40 of it with guided meditation, and truly no one does it better. So we invite you to take advantage of these, and you can't do it too many times because that is how the practice works. We begin again and again, and we've talked about the truth of that is because things are changing constantly. We are not who we were a minute ago. And again, that's hard for the mind to understand, but that is wisdom. So if we bring daily meditation, if we happen to read or listen to a podcast. I listened to a Tara Brock podcast today on mindfulness of the body that I'll send out to you. But listening and reading and the many wonderful chants that the Buddhist traditions offer us enables us to connect with the truth. It helps us to sustain what we've forgotten. So what are some other things that we want to bring really tightly into, loosely into our practice? And that is keeping the four foundations of mindfulness very close to what we're doing. And anytime we can read about what these wonderful teachers in all the Buddhist traditions have to say about the four foundations of mindfulness would be most helpful. So that's where we're going to begin tonight, is the four foundations of mindfulness. And you have been taught this many, many times, as I have too. But remember, we're beginning again with a freshness of what have I not heard or understood about working with mindfulness of the body, or mindfulness of sensations, or mindfulness of the mind, or mindfulness of mind states. That is what will enrich if we add them to our practice. It will point us to what the Buddha says is wake up to. And so mindfulness of the body, and the Buddha taught that mindfulness of the body is a direct path to the realization of truth, to peace and freedom. The most profound and full presence can only be experienced if we're awake right here in the body, with a quality of sacred presence that comes when, without any resistance or grasping, we really plant ourselves in the universe. We're here. It's where we live our lives completely, in this body, in this being, right here. So we experience our whole lives through our bodies, whether we are aware of it or not. But boy, what happens but when we become a bit aware of the body? Because usually we're a lot of activities going outside the body. And so when we're perceiving and thinking and hearing, sometimes it takes us away from the body, or we feel like it's out there, and it just isn't so. Just isn't so. So we miss out on the preciousness of every minute of our lives. And so even when we feel a strong breeze on our face, or we sound, feel, hear the sound of the rain on the roof, sometimes we forget to inhabit it fully. And staying in the body enables that. We can stay with it. But what we've been conditioned to do is, in most moments, we have an overlay of inner dialogue that comments on everything. I know you've noticed that. Everything. We just have an opinion about it all, which is not necessary. Actually, it's detrimental to our happiness because it takes us away from the body. You say, well, it's in the body. Well, yeah, we're not going to throw out the mind, but it certainly is not all about the mind. And that is where we have gotten lost. So living in the body, it's new for us, and that's okay. Because in doing that, it helps us to really begin to feel the ease of the present moment. We are enabling ourselves to experience directly what it's like when we can sustain that presence. So You'll hear teachers say all the time, go to your body. And I've told you this before. The first time I was told by a teacher to go to my body, I went to my head. Why? Because that's the only part of me that I was really paying attention to. Probably my stomach if I had a stomachache. But I had no idea of the wisdom or even the how-to of living, experiencing life through the whole body. It's like no other. So I'm having to learn to live. And it's most precious. It's most compelling. So it is within these bodies that I have said many times is where we live life completely. And so we've felt that throughout our lives, even without the wisdom, we have felt it. We have been there moments. We didn't quite understand what those moments were about, but they did kind of get our attention. And it was like a joy that arises within, regardless of what was happening outside of us, like no other. It's not the happiness that comes with something new, because that makes me kind of happy, but not for long. No, it's a deep joy that arises within us, regardless of what's happening outside the body. And we feel it deeply, 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 and connects us. Connects us to ourselves, it connects us to the whole universe. So the first thing, and this is difficult for the Western student, certainly has been for me, is one must fall in love. And say, oh, no, I can't love myself. Well, then learn to honor these bodies. We must, because it holds us back. Our teachers figured that out after they taught us for a couple of years and felt like that we couldn't get past the busy monkey mind. So we're going to have to shift. We're going to have to change our minds about our bodies and about our minds and about the whole existence that we've been given. But honoring ourselves, honoring this body, is most important because it is the vehicle for complete happiness. More happiness. More happiness. And so the body's been given to us, and it's quite a miracle, and we forget, unless we're talking about a baby that has just come out of the womb. Oh, it connects us faster than anything. Oh my gosh, the miracle of a baby. But guess what? We have forgotten that we have Buddha nature, this very present moment, which is so aligned in the newborn baby. That's who we are. We are the newborn baby. And so when we open up to the truth of who we are, then we begin to see quite directly why honoring and loving ourselves is important, not in a narcissistic way, we know that, but we've forgotten our loveliness. And of course, Galway Kennel's poem goes perfectly with what I'm talking about. He says, the bud stands for all things, even for those things that don't flower. For everything flowers from within, of self-blessing. Though sometimes it's necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on its brow of the flower and retell it in words and in touch. It is lovely. Until it flowers again within of self-blessing. So let's bring the self-blessing in with our practice. We can open to it. It's talked about a lot. And we can learn to get quiet and still and how to use these bodies. Because the Buddha says, quote, your body is precious. It is our vehicle for awakening. Treat it with care. So first lesson on mindfulness of the body is just that. Just recognize how you put yourself down. Notice the dialogue where you're not kind to yourself. Inquire. Get to know them. Ask yourself, can I be kind to myself as easily as I offer it to others? Sure we can. Because we're focusing on it. We're setting intentions. We're planting seeds of awakening to our preciousness. So, may we shift our mind states of hate to love and kindness by using rain, recognizing what we're saying, allowing, investigating it, feeling it in the body. That's what the I is. That's the only place we can be with it 100% is through the body. See how important that is? So we want to investigate within this topic of unworthiness. And thank goodness our teachers have addressed it. And many of our other wonderful Western psychologists have done the same to help us get through this rite of passage that is so important to open up to all the possibilities of who we are. And so we set an intention. What is it? An intention is we plant seeds within the truth. We hang out with this truth. We listen to it. We recognize it, we remember it, we rain on it. And we begin to honor that we are perfectly imperfect, not what the mind has concocted or the television or, you know, anything else out there that has described nonsense about us and to us. And so meditation is a healing tool that's tried and true. Again, planting seeds that will grow. May I be happy? Say it to yourself anytime. May I feel safe? May I remember I have Buddha nature? May I learn to love myself? And let your prayer to yourself come from your own aching heart. And bring this natural kindness to your precious self. And so with that, we will continue with the four foundations of mindfulness. We want to add that to all the things that we've talked about earlier about things that would be helpful to begin again. So, thank you for being good listeners. At this time, Randy comes.